1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, so the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. If any man called being circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. If any called is any called in uncircumcision, let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou, being a servant, care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servants. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But, and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. And this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use the world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. And if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age and need so require, so let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, he is at liberty to be married to whom she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide, after my judgment, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. Heavenly Father, I pray as we work our way down through this chapter, Lord, that you'd help me to rightly divide the Word of God. Help us to look at it. And Lord, a lot of different circumstances, a lot of different groups being addressed in this chapter. So I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to stop where we need to stop and reset our thinking and understand who this is talking to and who's being addressed in each portion of Scripture, each section of the chapter. And Lord, I pray we'll get good counsel in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time I taught, last Wednesday on the first part of this chapter, I broke it down for you. And I'm going to kind of go down through that again and at least give you, because in this chapter, Paul will stop and he'll give some advice to a certain group of Christians. And then he'll stop and give a different advice to a different group of Christians. And so I want this to be on the website and on the tape, as well as make it so that if you go back and re-listen to it, you'll know where the breakdowns are. Chapter 7, the first six verses, he's addressing married couples, two people that are married and two people that are Christians. And so that would be the first six verses. Verse 8 and 9, he addresses the widows or the unmarried. Verses 10 through 11, he again addresses two people that are married, a couple that are married and are both Christians. And then, verse 12 through 16, he begins to address those that are saved, but their spouse is lost. And he gives biblical counsel there. And then verse 17 through 24, he gives and covers some of the virtues of the celibate life and an encouragement in contentment. Yeah, and we're going to look at this a little bit today. And then verse 25 through 28, he's going to address the single, those that have yet to be married. And then verse 29 through 35, he again talks about the virtues of the celibate life. Verse 36 and through 38, he's going to address the fathers of unwed daughters that have reached past the prime of their youth. And then some good advice to the fathers there in directing their daughters. And then chapter 7, verse 39 through 40, he's going to just give real quick instruction to those who are widowed. So we're going to try to help you to stop and realize where we're at with each group as we kind of maneuver our way through the rest of the chapter. Verse 17 through 24, I'm going to go back and take a look at. We read all of these verses, but verse 17 is very important. Also, he stops and reaffirms what he said in verse 17, down in verse number 20. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all churches. Verse number 20, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. And he deals with a lot of different circumstances. But one of the main teachings that I want you to draw away from this is this. Folks, listen to me. He's covered a lot of situations here. And you know what? When somebody receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, what the main teaching of verse 17 through 24 is wherever you are when you are saved, you have to go on from that point forward in living out the Christian life and applying the Bible principles as it fits your situation. You know what, young people? We say it a lot. I listened to Brother Gordon most of his Sunday night message this afternoon. I had some office busy work, and I could listen while I was doing it, and he did a good job. I think through the years, how many sermons, how many times has different men of God stood in this pulpit and blew the trumpet and said, young people, listen, you have a chance for the best case scenario, okay? I mean, you're being raised in church. You were saved young. You're in a Bible preaching church. You're being given good biblical advice. You can keep yourself from so many heartaches, and sin complicates and messes up so many things. And man alive, God's blessed you. There's people all over this auditorium that didn't get a chance, didn't receive Christ. Some of them never even heard the gospel till they were on up in years. And by the way, they just had to carry all of their mistakes previous to that into their Christian life and do the best they can. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. And so I wanted to say a word to encourage our young people, first of all, but then also to tell you that, you know what, folks get saved at a different time in life. Different things have happened in their past. And folks, you know what, the devil will take those things and you know, cast us down about them and accuse us. And you know what, listen, there's no rewind button on life. I think your preacher said that once or twice or 1,000 times from this pulpit. And don't let the devil tear you up about the past. You know what? I don't care how long you've been saved, not saved, whatever. You know what? We have to go from today forward. I mean, I don't care where we're at. We all have to go from today forward. So whatever circumstance, and this is the main teaching, is whatever circumstance you found yourself in when you were saved, then you know what? That's your starting point spiritually. And so you know what? You apply the Bible principles to your present situation as best as possible. And you know what? Just go on for God. Just go on for God. And I don't think God makes mistakes. And I think, I'm going to say this, I think it is healthy to have in the midst of every congregation people that were saved at different ages. I think they can bring something to the family of God. I think you say, preacher, but I just wish so bad I'd have known this when I was younger. You didn't. But you know what? You can be a blessing to some other folks that maybe found out things a little late too. Or you can go to that new convert that's an adult that feels like, yeah, I got saved, but oh my goodness sakes, What about all of, hey, you know what? I got saved late in life too. You know what? God's going to take you from where you're at, and he's going to do something sweet in your life. And so, I feel like one of the main teachings of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is just, we just have this wonderful testimony of Paul and his and who he is, and he's content in who he is. And you know what? He was saved later on in life, and he had some regrets. But you know what? The state in which he was saved, he said, I'm going to be content in this state. And I'm going to go forward. I'm going to serve the Lord where I am, where God found me. And wherever God found you, you just go on from there and live a life. You know what? For a guy that had a lot of regrets and some pretty bad things in his past, he still managed to do some pretty remarkable things for the Lord. And so, you know, don't feel like, well, preacher, there's just no way God could use me. Like he could use maybe someone who was raised up in it. No, he's going to use you differently than he's going to use them. But he's going to use you all the same. Just be willing, all right? And that's the main teaching, honestly. If I could go through verse by verse, but, you know, verse 17, if you're called when you were circumcised, then be, you know, don't undo things. Verse 21, art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Well, I'm a servant. I'm an indentured slave, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. So I'm going to go home, and I'm going to tell my boss, I'm free in Jesus. And he'll say, that's great. Get to work. And you know. And he said, hey, you know what? God saved you in that situation. God wants to use you in that situation. And so he said, hey, if it works out where you can work that off, and you can get to the point where you're free, use it for the Lord. And so basically he's going to several different illustrations and basically saying the same thing, applying it different ways. Verse 24, brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now why would he cover that right in the middle of a chapter where he's dealing with all kinds of different marital situations and stuff? Because people get saved in different places in life. I mean, I've seen people get saved with four divorces in their past. Well, what are they supposed to do about it? Live for God from that day forward. You know, I've seen couples get saved where he's been divorced and remarried twice, and she's been divorced and remarried three times, and they're not married and living together. But they both got saved. What do? They apply the Bible principles where God found them. You know what? I mean, come on. Jesus dealt with a few people like that. You know, he knew all about that woman at the well in her past. He didn't say, you know, I'd share the gospel with you, but man, you've made such a mess of things. No use you getting saved. No, he cared about her. And she got saved where she got saved. And by the way, she turned a large part of her city to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think about that? And he's like, whatever, wherever you're at when you got saved, that's where you're at. So you know what? Just look at the Bible and learn and begin to apply Bible principles to your present situation. And you know what? Get everything right you can get right and go on for the Lord. And that's just a great teaching. And not just in the matter of marriage, but no matter what you've had in your life, just start today and go on for God, you know. And then we're going to go on down then in verse number 25. And then again, we're going to see a very specific a set of circumstances addressed here. Verse 25, now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And now he's talking here about unmarried people, even though he's going to also include some instruction. Verse 27, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. So let me give you some instruction here. Now we're talking about young people that are not married yet. He said, I have no commandment of the Lord. Now stop there. That doesn't mean what I'm about to tell you I'm not getting from God. I'm giving you my opinion. He's again going back to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now go back to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and show me where Jesus taught singles before they're married what to do in their circumstance, specifically in relationship to relationships. So, you know, he was like, I studied. Jesus never spoke to this group. He says, that's why he says, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. And we know that the judgment that he's being given are inspired words. So again, all right, we good with that? I don't want to go through a long explanation of that again. But then it's interesting. He said, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Now I want to explain what the present distress is. Folks, you have to understand that the Church of Jesus Christ was under great persecution at this time. Great persecution. And so when he's talking about this present distress, what he's saying once again is those of you that are saved and gotten saved and you're still unmarried, he said because of the present distress, because of the intensity of persecution, right now you probably ought to just hold pat. He said, just remain so. And because again, once you take on a family, once you take on responsibility, then all of a sudden you've got to work a job, you've got to provide for them, you've got to do all these things, and you're trying to do all these things in a time where they are hunting out Christians and persecuting Christians and killing Christians. And he's like, hey, you know what? He's not telling them, stay single forever. He said, I'm going to tell you because of the present distress. And you have to understand, and again, I'm so thankful that Paul was so comfortable in his own skin. I think that when he wrote these things, he's also looking at his life and he's thinking, how in the world can I go into a town, cause a riot, be let down in a basket out of the window of the wall and skedaddle to the next town if I'm thinking, where's the wife and kids? It's the honest truth of it, you know. And I want to stop. We're going to talk about the celibate life again a little bit. But I just like to, you know, again, there's not a lot in the Bible spoken about this. But I'm glad that what is in here is in here. Because, you know what, I think sometimes people just think it's a death curse if it were be God's will for you to grow up and never marry. And yet God's saying that there's some advantages. We're going to read some more about the advantages of the celibate life. And you know what? There's places where we need missionaries to go. That would be very difficult for them to go if they had a family. There are extremely dangerous places in this world that God may make, at least for a time in your life. Hey, young men, maybe for a time in your life, he may postpone that whole marriage thing and just say, I need some Apostle Paul's to go into some difficult areas. And you put that on the front burner, and that's your will, my will for you for a while. And you just sacrifice this for the Lord. And you know, I'm going to say something else, and I think it's good. I'm going to wait till we get down to that section maybe, because it'll be better taught in light of that. But again, you know, I mean, I understand. I preach it. Go back, original intent. God said it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. I'm not saying that this is, in any stretch of the imagination, ought to be the majority of the situations. But it is a possibility for people's lives. And you know what? When we come to an altar and when we exercise and obey Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, and we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Doesn't God from that point get to choose how he uses each and every one of us? And if he uses somebody as a married couple, great. If he uses somebody in a powerful way as a single young lady, as a single young man, you know what? Great. That's good. You know, and so anyway, I'll get into that in just a second, all right? Verse 27, we again see this matter of contentment. Again, he's talking about because of the present distress that's carried on into verse 27. Art thou bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. And I think he's got to be so careful teaching carnal people, because if he says something and he doesn't qualify it, you know, they don't have spiritual discernment. And I think that's why you see a lot of repetition here, you know. He's saying, I just said that because of the present distress, it's probably good for you to be single. But if you're married, don't throw your wife away just because. You know, so he has to qualify again. Art thou bounded to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. And so he said, no matter what, it kind of covered all three situations here. Before you're married, he said, if you are married, and he said, or if you've been loosed from a wife, he said, you know what, whatever situation you find yourself in, because of the present distress, you probably ought to just hold pat, because there's a lot more important things going on right now. And, you know, what's not a time to really complicate situations. Verse 28, but and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. Now notice this. He said, that's my advice to you because of the present distress. But, you know, he also says, hey, God may have a different will here. And if God puts people together in the midst of even persecution and you choose to marry, you haven't sinned. It's not wrong. He said, it remaineth that both they that have, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, an unmarried person, young person marries, she's not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. And again, I want you to understand all this is being taught in light of the present distress. And he said, it's going to make it harder to live out your Christian life. You're going to have to think about how you're going to pull this off and what you're going to do. Now, it's interesting. Let me just kind of stop here. You say, well, preacher, I don't think James Dobson would like this portion of Scripture because we're supposed to focus on the family. Come on. All right. And not everything James Dobson teaches is wrong. But isn't it interesting in Paul's eyes, carrying forth the gospel and executing the plan of God was primary and the whole family thing was secondary? And he said, hey, God may in the middle of all of this put it together, but folks, listen to me. He said, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. It's going to be hard for you to do all you could have done for the Lord Jesus Christ in this present distress. I hope this is making sense. I don't want you to come out of 1 Corinthians, and I warned you last Wednesday, don't come out of here feeling like Paul's talking down marriage or discouraging people from getting married or condemning marriage, heaven forbid. He's not doing that. But he's writing at a time of intense persecution. And he listen, if we're not careful, and this is why I made the shot I just shot at the focus on the family thing. You know what? I'm sorry. But family, well, family's the most important. Family's most important. Family's most important. And we've just used the family sometimes as an excuse, as if just having a family is fulfilling God's will. Even having a good family is fulfilling God's will. But you know, that is and should be part of God's will for most of our lives. But that is not the most important thing. And I think we're watching a man here that's lived right at the tip of the spear, and he's going out there and he's carrying the gospel into unbelievable situations and facing great persecution. And he's sitting there looking around thinking, okay, another marriage, come on, another marriage, another marriage, and another marriage, and another marriage, and everybody's using now the marriage and the family as an excuse why I can't, why I can't, why I can't. And Paul's like, you know what? He still believes Jesus is coming back in his lifetime. He still believes Jesus is coming back in his lifetime. And he's like, okay, everybody, that's good. It's a good thing. But don't check out because you got married. Okay? Preacher, as soon as we just get through the young children age and we'll be able to plug back in. Well, listen, I've watched singles make excuses. I've watched newly married make excuses. I mean, no matter where you're at in life, you can make that excuse all the way down to where you're a senior saint and you say, you know, well, I'm tired. We just need to let the young people do it. Well, they're over here making excuses why you ought to do. You know, what I'm saying, I think Paul's like, hey, get married, great. You haven't sinned, it's great. But you know what? Don't stop serving God. He's going to talk about that, how all of a sudden after we're married, our cares shift, our focus begins to shift. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but if it shifts completely to that and we quit advancing the gospel and serving God, okay. How about this? Focus on the will of God. How about this? Focus on a lost and dying world. How about this? Focus on soul winning. Okay, where's those programs at? You know, and so you know we uphold family here, but I love this chapter because I said it recently, we can begin to make idols out of some crazy things, and some people are making idols out of their family. And they're using their children as an excuse not to serve the Lord. They're using their marriage as an excuse not to serve the Lord. You know, all of it, listen, I believe anything you hide behind that keeps you from serving God, God could take that thing away. And so let's have families. And let's rejoice. We had another new baby. Amen. It's all good stuff. But I'd be disappointed. Brother Levi came to me after and said, "Preacher, man, we've got three kids now. And I just need somebody else to take my bus routes, you know what I mean?" Now that's where we're getting in trouble, you know, if we're not careful. Okay, I got an idea. Do what you're doing. Carry them kids on the bus and let them grow up on the bus. And listen, you can do both things. You can do both things. And so, amen. Amen. That's good. All right. I don't know if I'm getting through all this tonight or not. But we'll see what happens. All right. He said, verse 29, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that..." Now, this is interesting, because if you don't believe what I just said in the argument I presented, listen to what Paul says. "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." I still believe the time is short. "It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none." I think he lost his focus on the family right there. He lost it. "And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married care for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife." And he said, you know what? Watch this. Married people. And I don't mean a husband dictating to his wife. I mean a wife and a husband coming to agreement on some things. There's times in our marriage where, you know what? The family's going to take the back burner, and God's work and God's will is going to be the most important thing. We're going to almost deal the next... let me just say. A fall program. Wives, hubby shouldn't be home every evening. Or let me say it this way. You and hubby shouldn't be home sitting every evening. You could do it as a family. You know, it's okay sometimes to... You know, listen, ladies, I want to help you. Please listen to me. But if you're got a husband that has a desire to serve the Lord, and you're the one that's always, what about us? That verse was probably written for you. That even those of us with wives ought to at times act as if we do not have a wife. Is that what it says? In other words, hey, hon, you know what? I'm just going to tell you, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, it's going to be crazy. And you know what? We'll have to catch up down the road, but you know what? Right now, we need to roll up our sleeves and get this thing done for the Lord. And have wives not sit home and pout about it, but say, hey, I got a better idea. Let's do it together. Let's go. Let's go do extra. Let's go get it. Folks, family's great, but God did not put us on this earth, and his will for our lives is to have a family and let the world go to hell. And I'm hoping I'm giving you a balance here. But, you know, I've heard this family thing until... you watch these extreme homeschool, unbiblical situations where everything is about them and everything's about the kids and everything's about the wife and everything's about the marriage and everything's about the family, to the point where they aren't doing anything for God. And they raise another generation to believe that it ought to be all about the marriage and all about the kids and all about the family and all about and all about about. But they can't even get to church. Matter of fact, it's so much about home, let's just do home church. I'm trying to save you from going over the threshold here, okay? Everything's a balance. And I can preach on this. I'm very comfortable because I've spent untold sermons standing up here preaching and promoting the family, okay? My track record will stand for itself. But there's a family is a blessing, but a family should never become an idol. Hey, you know what I did for the last... You know what I did for the last 3 days? My wife is fulfilling a biblical obligation to her parents. I wish she could travel with me more. But you know what she did and I did for a few days here while I drove up and preached a revival? We lived as if we were not married. You know, I didn't get to come home every night to her. I called her every day. And then we get back together, and you know what? We're married again. Now, we're always married. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Well, I just got this idea that we're going to, you know, one of these days I'm going to get married, and my husband is going to go to work, and he's going to come in every day, and of course he'll be riding a white steed when he comes home every night, and he'll have roses in his arms, and I'll come running out, and he'll pick me up and whirl me around, because he's not carrying me over the threshold just our first night. For the rest of our life, he's carrying me over the threshold. And you've got this idealistic thing where it's all about just he's gone long enough to make enough money so that you can go spend it, and everything is about you, and everything's about... What happened to young couples that said, what does God want us to do with our lives? How can we make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, I'm not anti-family. I'm pro-family. I mean, God's pro-family. But I'm for a family that gets it and serves God together. Okay? And so don't let family become an excuse for not doing what you ought to do for the Lord. Amen. Amen. All right. Very good. We're still married, right? We're still married? Okay. All right. Just make sure about that one. It's good. I like it when it gets quiet and people are nervous in here. You know, don't you hate it when the Bible just messes up the philosophy you have for your life, you know? And I hope you understood that. We're talking about a balance here. All right, let's move on. They that use the world as not abusing it. Now, he's going to talk about this, verse 31. He says, listen, sometimes you ought to weep as though you've wept not, and you rejoice as though you've rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And he said, listen, I think what he's saying is don't get caught up in living your life like everybody else in the world is living their life. And they're getting up every morning. They go into work. They're eating. They're making money. They're spending. They go home. And they do this endless cycle of doing that. Well, lost people do that. Where's the time... Where's the time to serve God? Verse 32. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. He that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit, but she that is married care for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. He said, listen, it's kind of a natural thing. This is why Paul, as a single guy who's so focused on serving Jesus Christ, and I know his was a unique calling, but he's looking at the celibate life, and he's like, y'all are really distracted over there. And rightfully so. Guess what, husbands? We do have to provide and care for our wives. And wives, you have to spend a lot of time focused on how to please your husband. But he's kind of looking over there saying, man alive, while y'all are taking care of that, I started another church. Now again, is the celibate life for everybody? No. But is it for some people? Yes. Yes, it is. It's God's will for everybody to get married. No, it's not, according to the Bible. Okay? Now, this is where I was going to go in, and I'll go there. Let me tell you what the world and the sodomites are telling our young people. Come on, guys, I want you to listen to what I have to say. I want you to open your heart a little bit here. If a young man's not attracted to a young lady, then he must be gay. That's what the world is telling our young men. Well, do you have a natural inclination, an attraction for young ladies? Well, no. Well, then you're queer. You know that God makes some young men for the celibate life? And I think the world, I think some of these young men that grow up and they don't have that strong urge, attraction, you know, drive to be married, they're happy unmarried. They are told by the world, well, it's because you're born a homosexual. No. I mean, there's a place in the Bible, and I didn't write the verse down, but there's a place in the Bible, Jesus said that You know what? Some eunuchs are made of men. God made some. And some choose that life because they have the grace to do it. But they are able to accomplish some things for God as a single person that married people never will be able to. Now listen, I want the married life. I'm glad I'm married. You're not hearing any mumbling or grumbling on my part. That was God's will for my life. I need to say that so my wife's not nervous right now. But I think also we've got to stop this idea of, and the devil's taken it and turned it and made it so that people that are maybe born young lady, you know what, and for whatever reason, that's just not been a really super strong thing. It's not that you're against marriage, but it's not like you're like some girls that just pine about it and pine about it. And the world would come over and say, well, it's because you're a lesbian. You were born a lesbian. No. Maybe God made you for the celibate life. And maybe because of that, you're going to be able to impact this country in a way for the Lord Jesus Christ that you couldn't if you had to spend the majority of your time taking care of and pleasing your husband. Now, can I say that without anybody leaving here and saying I'm preached against marriage and marriage's a bad thing and marriage is an anchor and people that are married can't serve God? You know? Don't go crazy with me. All right. I'm not going to take questions or testimonies. Thank you. Thank you. Matthew what? Thank you. All right. Thank you, Brother Joe. You want to flip over there? Because I think people think that this, for some reason, Jesus must have got confused and babbled incoherently for a verse or two, and so we don't ever read them or talk about them. Or Matthew 19:2, is that what you said? No. 19:12. He's been talking about the subject of marriage here. Verse 10, his disciples saying to him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, is it not good to marry? But he said unto them, all. Now watch this. Isn't it interesting how he prefaces it in verse 11? But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which are made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. You know what? That's what Paul's life was. He realized that the call of God on his life and the will of God for his life. Don't tell me that Paul in his heart, I think I mentioned this the other night, didn't sometimes see a married couple walking hand in hand down the road, and he's in the middle of all of this, and he didn't look at that and say, boy, it'd sure be nice to have somebody come home to. But you know what he did? He looked at God's calling on his life and what God wanted him to accomplish, and he said, there's no way I can do what God wants me to do and have that. Lord, I'm laying that on the altar. You've given me the grace to do it, to live this life without sinning, without messing up, and I'm going to focus on what you've called me to do, and that's something I give up for Jesus. And I wanted to say that because of this false teaching that the sodomites are using to some of our young people that are single and really don't have an inclination. They're happy singles. Okay? Isn't that interesting? Yeah, I'll give you something to go home and ponder a little bit. Okay, it's good for us. Good for us. In verse 34, there's a difference. I read that. Verse 35, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you. I know why Paul just stopped and said that, because I keep stopping and qualifying this. He said, listen, I don't want this to trip you up. I don't want this to mess you up. You carnal Corinthians, don't go divorce your wife so you can be a better Christian, okay, and serve God better as a single person. He said, I'm not trying to cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon it. Look at this statement. That ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now they are in a time of present distress. And it's going to take in this first generation of Christians some people that will give their all to advance the cause of Christ. Everything. And he's looking at all the situations, say, hey, you're married? Fine. You're not married, fine. If you're married, don't seek to be loose. Son, if you're not married and you can handle it and you can not, you know, don't seek a wife. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added. Come, hey, I could use some help. Hey, let's sacrifice something that's so sweet and precious to get this thing called Christianity off the ground. And it's going to take some of us to do what I'm doing to get it done. It's very interesting that he said that. Isn't that an amazing statement? And that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. We're going to talk about the widows in just a second. I think that there's times, young people, listen to me. Let me tell you how you can get to the point and get to the wedding altar pure while you're single, attending to the Lord without distraction. You lose your wife. You become a widower. Okay? We're going to say this in a minute. It's not wrong to remarry. It's biblically, it's not wrong to remarry. But he's going to say, how much better if you could just attend unto the Lord without distraction. That's why he's going to say it's better. He's going to say it's better. Not wrong if you don't. You know, I think there's a part of, you know, you go through a divorce situation. Terrible. Hate it. Which had never happened. Maybe God will give you the grace to attend unto the Lord without distraction. Maybe he can just give you that grace. Maybe you will be able to do with the rest of your life what you never could do if you were married. Verse 36, and if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin. Now, before I read verse 36 and 37, let me read verse 38 so you know who's being talked about. We're about to shift gears, whole different group here. Look at verse 38. So verse 36 and 37 is being summarized by a so then. So who is he talking to? So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. He's talking about a father with an unmarried daughter. The father is the one that gives her in marriage. If you don't understand that, this seems that you can really get in trouble reading this thinking you know what it's talking about, okay? So there's a man and it says, I'll tell you exactly, let's read it. If any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin, a virgin daughter, if she pass the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. He's not talking about letting them marry, the dad marry the daughter. What he's saying is, if you've got a young lady in your family and she doesn't marry in the prime of her youth, and later on as a father you're like, now, she's gone this far. Do I seek to find her a husband? Do I seek not to find her a husband? What do I do with her? Amen. Come on. John and Terry Reiser know exactly what I'm talking about. What do I do with this girl, I don't know what to do. Not that you've passed the flower of your youth. It's not wilted at all. It's beautiful. Man, I've got myself in so much trouble. I was going to switch to Darcy, but I'll be just as much in trouble over there. You know, no matter what you do right now, I'm in trouble, right? But, you know, it's kind of like this parents that are sitting there, and they've got this daughter, and thank God she's doing the right thing. She's living the right life. But, you know, while all of her friends and everybody and during that time, and then here she is. And I think the father's like, okay, do I reach a point where I say she's off the market? You know, do I run a half price sale? I am so bad. No, they increase in value the older they get. They increase. Okay, you'll see, Sister Darcy, Lynette, Cheryl, we both got to send them flowers tomorrow, okay? With an apology note for, but these are, I'm so deep now that there's no getting out of this. But there was questions about this, you know. And I'm never going to get to this. Verse 38, so then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. And again, he says, he's saying to the father, okay, is there a certain point in time where I just help her to understand that God may have called you to the celibate life? Or maybe, and it all, if you look at the wording here, it's so good. Verse 36, he says, that and think that he behaveth himself uncomely towards his virgin. He's like, I don't know if I'm making the right decision or not. Am I holding her back from somewhere, someone she should marry? Should I hold her back? I don't know what to do. And then he says in verse 37, nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. And let me just give you the best explanation I can. He's saying to the father, you have to know your daughter. And you have to understand whether or not she's been given the gift of the celibate life. And if she has, you encourage her in that, because again, Paul said, God may have chosen her very specially to use in an unusual way that a marriage and children would hinder. And by the way, why is he addressing the father here? Oh, because God's so old-fashioned, and we ought to be old-fashioned like God. You know, this whole idea of, well, I'm 18 or I'm 21, mom, dad, you have, listen, if you're unmarried, remember what I said the other day, there's a significance to that daddy taking that daughter down the aisle. You know who I love to talk to is Lindsay Klein. That young lady is in the will of God. She's down in Florida. She's serving the Lord. But I promise you right now, that man right back there in that booth has her heart. That girl would not make a major decision in her life without talking to mommy and daddy and getting dad's approval on it. And am I right on that? You know what she's doing? She's handling this time of her life wonderfully. Okay? And you show me that kid that just gets impatient, gets tired, or declares because they're 18, mom, dad, bug out. You're going to crash and burn. And you're not going to be the exception. So it's interesting that even though this is obviously an older daughter, you know, she may be on up, but you know what? God is still working through the father to help guide her life. Sister Darcy doesn't live with Jean and Don Mary, but I know this. Sister Darcy has never made a major decision in her life without talking to her mom and dad about it. And she's come to me and Cheryl sometimes for spiritual counsel because she doesn't have that husband to go to ask the questions to. And that's one of the reasons she's been so successful in so many areas of her life, and God's used her in an unusual. You know, don't let impatience, you know, all of a sudden be a green light for you to just sever yourself from the protection of God-given authority in your life just because that husband hasn't come along to be that. I hope that made sense. And then final instruction here to verse 39 and 40 for the widowers. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. So now we're talking about a widow or a widower here. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will. Qualification, only in the Lord. So when he says whom you will, you don't forego the Bible principles of an equal yoke. Verse 40, but she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. This is, he said, my opinion, what I believe. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. And I think he did too, because all scriptures give by inspiration of God. And the Holy Spirit picked up holy men of old and used them as a pen and wrote the scriptures. And Paul may have thought he was writing the letter. I don't know how all that worked, but we know that he did have the Spirit of God. So here we go. You're born into the world single. Hallelujah. You grow up single, and you've got that part of your life, and there's biblical instruction. And be careful, be careful, be careful. Follow the will of the Lord. Serve the Lord without distraction. I'd say the teenage years ought to be for preparation, not for pursuit. You hear that where he said, if you have a wife, seek not to be loosed. If you have not a wife, seek not a wife. Let me tell you when you're going to get in trouble. When you decide you're going to go find a person. Okay? Stop seeking and let God bring the person. And if he does that when you're 18 or 19 or 20 or 21, great. He may not do it till you're 28, 29, 30, great. He may not do it till you're 40, 41, 42, great. He might at some point tap you on the shoulder and say, hey, let me just kind of share something with you. And by the way, with this revelation is going to come the grace to do it. But you are one of the special chosen ones that I would like for you to be able to serve me without distraction. And I'll give you the grace to do it. And I think if at that point in your life, you ought to just kind of take a step back and say, okay, if God has so orchestrated my life so that I do, you know, remember what I said about Paul? He looks at life different. He's all for marriage. He's not against marriage, but he's watching what how much marriage and a family keeps people from the front lines. And I think he said, hey, there's a few of us that God's just going to put on the front lines. And our whole life is going to be about this thing. And I think there's going to be significant reward in heaven for those that say, don't rebel against that. Well, I'll tell you what, mingle.com, I can find somebody on here. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you'd use, please, the teaching of the Bible to help us to understand, Lord, to maybe show a little more mercy and grace and sensibility in our treatment of others. I think, Lord, we battled back something the devil has done to deceive young people into the sodomite lifestyle. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for, and I could stand up here and give examples. Maybe I ought to. Maybe next week we will. But some of the greatest Christians that have accomplished the most amazing things in the history of Christendom were men and ladies that you created to live that celibate life dedicated to you alone. And so, Lord, wherever we find ourselves, dear God, I pray that we'll be thankful for it, number one, and content in it. And Lord, patient and trusting. And Lord, may we use whatever circumstance we find ourselves in to bring you the most glory. Lord, thank you for the Apostle Paul, who you use to remind all of us. Family's a blessing. Family's part of the will of God, but family's not all of the will of God. And help us to not lose sight of the bigger picture. Lord, as we enjoy our marriages and raise our children, may we also make an impact for the kingdom of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name.